Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We confess in the creeds that and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. So today, let us hear our text concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the happy accident that occurred today. You may not be aware of it, but if you were at the sunrise service, the readings are the readings from the sunrise service. And since the bulletin was already printed and the large print as well, with the sunrise service readings in it, that's the service we're doing today. Pastor Ralph and I then are having dueling sermons as he preached on John 20 at the 6 a.m. and I'm now preaching on John 20 at the 8 and the 10:30. I told him he could go ahead and take it, but he said, no. But it is because most of the time, John 20 doesn't come up in the three-year series for the Easter morning, only for the sunrise service. So you'll get to hear that even though you weren't with us at 6 o'clock. And if you were, I'm sorry. Okay. So St. John describes it so that we may make our faith certain, strengthened, and support our God-given faith. He gives us eyewitness testimony of his own. Luther writes in a sermon that he had written on this text, he says, St. John brings in Mary Magdalene alone and praises her in particular for her faith. For behold what favor she has in her heart, so that St. John deliberately keeps silence about the other women and considers only Mary Magdalene in order to show her great exceptional love for the Lord Christ. On the first day of the week, he, that is John, says that this, that is the day after the Sabbath, she came alone to the tomb. She would have certainly preferred to come earlier, but the Sabbath prevented her movement. Moreover, she comes to the tomb early while it was still dark. She scarcely waited until morning broke. All of this shows her heart, her fervor, and the love that she bears for her Lord. Mary forgot all about the cares and works at her home and runs to the tomb at the break of day to look for the Lord, and she is altogether heedless because of her great love that she does not even consider what she is doing or what she intends. Her heart is aflame in such ardent love that she neither sees nor hears anything. This is how a heart seized by love is accustomed to act, so that it is nothing but what it loves and desires. If you've had a loved one pass away, particularly a spouse, you understand the numbness you become just to get through the activities leading up to the day of the service of the funeral as we celebrate the resurrection for them. And while Mary is not married to Jesus, contrary to our liberal friends, she does love him. And in this love toward Christ, it happens that a human being who loves Christ becomes drunk on this emotion, thinking of nothing and seeing nothing but Christ. Nevertheless, Mary here still does not have faith that Christ is risen from the dead. Rather, she is only burning with love for the dead, just as before she had burned with love for the living Christ. Here ends Luther. Today, for many, even some who claim to be Christians, Easter has become a meaningless account of superstitions. But we know better. For if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are to be pitied above all people, and our faith is in vain. For without the resurrection, we have no Christ, we have no Redeemer, we have no Savior, no Lord. And John is not lying. Which is why I can confidently say this morning, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I'll keep you awake. You want proof? Listen to Mary and join her confession. I have seen the Lord. That's what she says to the disciples, right? Our text offers us eyewitness proof that you can stake your life now and for all eternity on. See, this Easter morning we go with Mary Magdalene to the tomb and find it empty. What a complete shock it must have been when she got to the tomb and the stone is not just rolled away, but taken away. Yet because of grief, Mary, like many of us, at death of a loved one, can't focus on the resurrection. And so instead of joy, she assumes the worst. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. How easy it is to let the many earthly things cloud the importance of heavenly things. Whether it is grief or leisure or work, our focus on Jesus and his word isn't always the clearest, because we often let our fears run our life. Fears of being mocked, fears of being viewed with disdain by those closest to us, or even by strangers. Of these and many more sins, we must plead guilty, as we did today, of thought, word, and deed. And you know what our sins... You know what? Our sins are forgiven. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. It's okay, Theo. John is the faster of the disciples. Probably because he was younger, but he was faster still. It didn't matter. But he's not willing to enter the tomb. He stooped and looked in and he saw the linen cloth lying there, but apparently shock overtakes him and he stops. Bullheaded Peter, on the other hand, while slower, gets the job done. Following him, he went into the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Grave robbers don't normally take time to fold clothes. So we don't have to worry about that one. Like Mary Magdalene, they begin to wonder what happened to Jesus' body. From our vantage point, it's easy to ask, why didn't they just remember what he had told them? Why didn't they remember that he had prophesied, that what had been prophesied about the Messiah? For as of yet, they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. They had not yet gone to Jesus' messianic Christology class that he teaches to the Emmaus disciples on the road there, as Luke records, as he said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Boy, that would have been nice. No doubt, scriptures like Psalm 16, verse 10, "For you will not leave my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Isaiah 53, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Or one of my personal favorites, and you'll have to ask me why later. "After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight." That's just a few to mention. May it be perfectly clear to everyone here, to all, that Jesus' body isn't stolen. that Jesus has done what? He has risen just as he said. Well, we can say it. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Still struggling? Did you like the epistle lesson today? I just love that one, right? Here we have a litany of those who had seen the risen Lord. Mary Magdalene, the other women, Matthew 28. First to Peter, Luke 24. And the two Emmaus disciples, Mark and Luke record this. To the disciples minus Thomas, Mark, John, and Luke record. To the disciples with Thomas. You remember, stick your finger here. Put your finger here. Right? Seven disciples by the Lake of Gennesaret with a rather large catch of fish. The multitude of the disciples, perhaps the 500, as recorded in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, as Great Commission. Jesus' half-brother James, who finally comes to faith in 1 Corinthians 15. To the apostles again in 1 Corinthians 15. And then Paul, the least of the apostles, as he says of himself, 1 Corinthians 15 again. We're on the road to Damascus. The account John gives us of Mary Magdalene is personal, suggesting a close relationship between Jesus and Mary. As we hear Jesus say to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." You cannot cling to a ghost. You cannot cling to an hallucination. He then gives Mary particular commission. "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." God be praised. Mary is the first but not the least eyewitnesses of the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus. May we always join our confession with Mary's. "I have seen the Lord, for Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So stop living as if you are chained to your sins. Our Lenten prayer has been answered. He who overcame by the tree has been overcome by the tree of the cross. Today we break our Lenten fast and we rejoice. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God has taken away our sins. Sin and death no longer has dominion over us. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
May this bring you peace and joy, not only today, but for every day. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.